When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Before we get started with the show, let me tell you about Dodge. See your authorized Dodge dealer and experience a world of performance, design, and fuel efficiency. Schedule a test drive today. Go to Dodge.com and check out our powerful lineup. Welcome to CarCast. I am Matt, the Moderator D'Andrea, with Bill Goldberg. Oh, man, another week ready to go. How are you, man? Knife or Death on the History Channel. How's that going? New episodes are out now, right?
Going good, man. First one last week. You know, we had the Fortune Fire guys on, so we obviously had a Fortune Fire winner of that one. And, man, we got a really good one coming up this week. But, you know, as the host of the show, I'm not going to tell you that we got a crappy one coming up. We got a kick ass episode coming up on Wednesday. But everybody tune in, History Channel 10 o'clock, 9 central, Wednesday, man. It's going to be cool.
So many chickens.
You know what? It hadn't kicked anybody's ass yet, man. It was the ultimate villain last year.
But, yeah.
That and the fish, but these guys have tore right through it. But I can guarantee you this next episode ain't going to be so... It's not going to be so easy.
The competitors that are showing up on the show now... do we know how many of them saw last season? Now they have something to go by. Now they have sort of a visual of saying, okay, we have an idea of what this is. So now there's sort of more aspirations as what's, you know, what they can do and what can they can accomplish on the show, right? Now that there's a season under the belt?
You got to be a mental midget not to use your due diligence and study the first season. If there was a first season, you know, you're coming back on second season.
Yeah.
It's like not studying a race course when you go out there. So, there were a lot of people that did study. There were a lot of people that still, it didn't make much of a difference to them, but, for the most part, it did. It made most of the competitors up their game, and it's a bigger, better, badder, and, more competitive group of people this year. So it's cool, man. We got some badass knives, we got some badass contestants, and you know, I could sit here and talk about it all day, but I just got back from Miami, and you know, it was a great trip. I'm not going to go into it except for the fact that there were obviously some badass cars down there on the Miami Beach. You see quite a cornucopia of stuff. It parallels what we see out here in LA,
mm-hmm.
but it's a little culturally different.
Petrifries.
Can't spit that one out this morning, but let me just tell you about how it started.
Dude. Yeah.
Because if the trip ended up being a wonderful trip in whole, but I left my house at 4 o'clock in the morning to pick my brother up to go to the airport. Okay, that in and of itself is disgusting. But, you know, Wanda has got two vehicles here, which I want to let her have at her disposal because they're two different types of vehicles, which accomplish two different types of things. Actually, she has three and she has many more, but for the most part. And I've got, you know, a little group of stuff that I drive.
Yeah.
And so I didn't think about it in too much depth until it was too late. But the one frickin' day that it rains in Southern California, I'm driving my 750 horsepower, you know, Dodge Charger with drag slicks that are pretty well on 20% of tread life left of the drag slick. And I am going probably 30 on the 15, getting passed by 18 wheelers right and left, and I am on black. It's like I'm on black ice the entire way. There's zero track. I was sliding the entire time, and I can honestly say that I have never been more terrified in a vehicle in my entire life.
How far is the airport?
Well, it's normally a 45-minute drive.
Yeah.
You know, but fortunately, I was able to, I had to pick up my brother, which initially was a hindrance, but it turned out to be great because I ended
switch
up going
cars.
Towards the coast. What's that?
Maybe switch cars. Make him drive when you pick him up.
Well, I was going to, but once I got off of the 15, you know, it's kind of like Miami.
Yeah.
You get these rain showers, but they're sporadic and they're in spots. So I get on Del Dios. I get off of the 15, and I get on Del Dios to go west to pick up my brother, and I'll be damned, there's no rain over there at all.
Oh. So the whole time he's like, I don't know what you were talking about. Everything seems fine to me. And you're like, no, on the way here, it felt like
terrifying.
A near-death experience. He's like, stop being a baby.
I mean,
it looks fine.
Comparatively, there was no rain. It was sprinkling, but it was nothing. There was no standing water. There was nothing. So on the highway, on the 5, it was fine. But I'm telling you, for that 20, 30 minutes, I've never been more terrified. So I just wanted to eloquate that situation to you, and hopefully you can empathize with it in some
no,
way,
I get you.
Form.
Look,
Jesus, that was terrifying.
Here's the trade-off is California, we get shit gas. We get shitty 91-octane gas, and other people don't. But we get 10 months a year of pretty nice weather where you can roll around on drag slicks.
Bingo.
You know, but every once in a while,
one day I come back, you know, late yesterday, it's beautiful.
Great.
Beautiful today. Sure. Rain's not even anywhere near in the forecast. So the one day that I have to do that. Yeah.
You know,
so in other words, Mark Warman at Graveyard Cars, would you hurry up and finish my truck, please?
Yeah. What's going on, Mark?
I don't know. I owe him a phone call. But anyway, that's a different subject.
Yeah, so not, busy with TV shows.
Enough about me.
Get back to cracking away on cars, buddy. I like Mark. He's a good guy. I like when he calls in. He's fun.
Yeah, he's a good dude, no doubt.
Before I forget, you know, we all went to Goodwood, of course. We've been doing these Motor Trend videos. You can see these videos at motortrend.com/Adam. We did a nice like 5-video package for them, but we're offering 2 bonus videos, and I think they're going to be the first ones this week, and the last one is next week, and they are both Goldberg episodes. Goldberg at Goodwood. We went out there. We got to hook up with you, and Nate filmed, and it was exciting stuff. And out there in Skinner's truck, and you heard the stories. You heard what happened. Now, if you want to see some of that, check out motortrend.com/Adam, and you'll start to see the Goldberg episodes of Goodwood.
Well, is that, you know, I can look at that a couple different ways. First and foremost, I'm honored to be a tiny little part of that. But did you happen to get any of my crash footage?
I watched the first episode, and everything was fine.
So, okay.
The second episode, I haven't seen the final cut yet. But, you know, look, there's no secrets here. We know what happens. So let's get a little, we'll get a little sort of postmortem of what you thought.
Postmortem.
I can't think of a better term.
No, it was that hits the nail on the head.
Great videos. Thanks for everybody who's been watching. And we hope to do more with those guys and all of us. I think it definitely check out Bill's videos coming up. I think you guys will dig them. It's good stuff. It's fun stuff. Like, we got some in-car footage of you that as well, and you can really kind of see what's going on in there and all the work that's involved and driving these things up the hill. And people sort of forget, like, when you're when you're belted into some of those cars, especially the NASCAR trucks where it has the big seat and it's like kind of wrapped around your head, you can't move. You can't move your head back and forth, and you can't, you know, you got your Hans device on, and yeah. Look, by the way, all the safety equipment worked well, as you will testify to. Everything did its job, for sure, but it's a crazy thing going into cars like that. Maybe, yeah, listen. Now I see where your head's at, driving the Dodge Charger around with the slicks on it. Maybe we need some wet tires.
Yeah, here's the deal. The caveat is the truck's awesome because I'm kind of claustrophobic, as you know, and so the cab is huge. But since it's huge, you have to have a seat that fully envelops you to keep you, you know, tight within that huge space.
Yeah.
So, man, that's like it's like sitting in a space rocket in one of those big chairs, you know. I mean, it's a wild ride. It's pretty different, especially with the Hans device on. Yeah, it's pretty cumbersome.
Yeah, well, it's a good watch. So guys, go check that out. You guys will dig it. I think we talked about before. We've got cars that we're selling. We've got a Ford GT. We've got the Pantera. We've got the Corvette. These are three amazing cars. Today, as we're recording this, so I guess maybe tomorrow you'll listen to this, the Pantera is up on Bring a Trailer. So go check that out. This is a 74 Pantera GTS, which is gorgeous. Got to be the nicest one out there. Just fully restored. Such a good car. And the Ford GT, I believe, is going to go up on Bring a Trailer next week. And as we've said, it's red with the white stripes, all four options, lightweight wheels, painted calipers, Macintosh stereo. The car that's not on Bring a Trailer is this Corvette. And this is a special car, and it's getting overlooked a little bit. Like, this is a 67. You'll like it, Bill. We talked about it before. This is a 67 Corvette. It's a 427 big block, 435 horsepower car with the tri-power. That makes it a rare car. But this car is untouched. It is the Survivor class car. The Bloomington certified gold Survivor like certification, this was the very first car to get it. It created that category, the Survivor category. It's in the Corvette Hall of Fame as the first Survivor class Corvette ever. So it can only be original once. This car is amazing. So
and check this out. This is one way to look at it. Also, a different way than I normally would. You look at a car, depending upon what you want to buy it for, a lot of different ways. This is a car that you can obviously buy that there is no way you're going to have to pay for a restoration on it, because if you pay for a restoration on it, you ruin it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so you're absolutely right. There's $100,000 you just saved.
Exactly.
You know, you just saved $100,000 right there off the price of this car, because you don't have to restore it. But it fires up. You can drive it. It's a fantastic car. So check out Bring a Trailer. Check out, if anybody likes the Corvette, give me a call, shoot me an email, hit me up on the social medias, whatever. You can get a hold of me. I'm around everywhere. But so I was digging through some news, and it seems like forever we've been talking about, or, you know, the media, the automotive media has been talking about the Ford Bronco. And we all love this idea. So the 2020 Ford Bronco, they're saying now could come with, as an option, a 7-speed manual transmission. That would be connected to the 2.7-liter EcoBoost V6. This is the V6 out of the new Ford Edge ST. It's 325 horsepower and 400 pound-feet of torque. Not bad. 325 horsepower, 400 pound-feet. Not bad. 7-speed manual, which would be cool.
I think it's a bitchin' idea, as long as they keep the styling the way that the original looked. I mean, that the original, the silver Bronco that they...
Oh, the concept you were talking about.
That
yeah.
They were touting.
Yeah.
It sure looks a lot better than the photo of the one on the article that you sent me.
Yeah. So here's the thing, that
package sounds great, but it depends on what the package looks like, mostly for me.
Yeah, and I don't know what we know as far as the styling of it. I think we have a pretty good idea. It started off as the concept and sort of morphed into the photos that are kind of circulating now, but no official photos have been done. I don't think there's even been like spy photos with the crazy camouflage wrap. I don't know how much has been out there for that. I'm sure there are Bronco fanatics that are out there that have forums and stuff that have been following this stuff, and I think that's great. So you guys are going to know way more than I will about it.
Hey, if anybody out there has got some shots of it, shoot it in. I'd like to see it too.
Yeah, hit us, tweet us or something, photos of those, and we'd love to see what's going on. Also, I want to know what you guys think of a 7-speed manual. Do you think it's going to have enough sell through rate? Do you think the Uber fans are going to love it, but the general people are going to go? Now, keep in mind, this transmission is, you know, I guess it'll be somewhat of a new transmission, but it also has to support
a limited amount of cars, right?
Yeah, but it has to support the abuse of an all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive drivetrain as well. So obviously it will come with an automatic as well. I don't think anybody's saying 7-speed manual is the exclusive, especially in these days when manuals are
when 80% of the public doesn't know how to drive a manual.
Yeah, gosh, boy, it used to be they didn't want to. Now they don't know how. but anyway, I think that's kind of interesting. I think a manual version would be cool. You guys heard me say this before. Regardless of all the cars I've driven in my life, I've owned a bunch of cars, and I've never owned an automatic transmission vehicle. My entire life, the Mustangs, my BMWs, my M3s. Yeah. I even owned, after high school, I bought a used 93 Ford Explorer Sport, the two-door Ford Explorer. And I think it had like a 4-liter V6 in it. And that was a manual transmission. Every car I have owned personally in my life has been a manual transmission.
Well, that's awesome, man. That's surprising. Or not surprising. I
don't even know if it was intentional until I started getting older. Then I'm like, I can't change it now. So now I don't know what to do.
Well, you're cheap, too. So, I mean, all manuals are cheaper, right?
I definitely, back in the day, it was really like the Explorer was like, here's an automatic and here's a manual. It's like, well, they look the same. They're like, yeah, but that one's $500 cheaper. I was like, well, I'll just take that one. Cheaper seems to be the way to go. You're absolutely right. I don't know. So, but now I feel like the street can't go on forever because there's so many cool cars out there and not as many manual transmissions. And, like on one hand, I was like, hey, I like a Porsche Panamera and I like a Porsche Turbo. You can't get those with a manual. But you can get a 911 GTS Targa 4 with a manual. And that car's nice.
Yeah, that's, you know what? It is nice. And again, I'll talk about my ride back from the airport. I'd like to be as responsible as humanly possible on the road, but I'm going through Rancho Santa Fe and I see a loaded, blacked out GT2 behind me in my rearview mirror as I'm taking my brother home. And fortunately, the streets were nice and dry, but he ate my lunch.
Yeah.
So, that was a fun experiment. Man, yeah. It's not that I forgot what those cars were capable of, but they're quite impressive.
They are. Oh, yeah. Well, of course, we just came back from Rennsport, so...
Oh yeah, you had an iPhone.
It's the greatest Porsche thing on earth. Like it's the greatest Porsche event on earth. It seems like it was our first time going, and by the compared to the Monterey Rolex Historics, it was it was half as many cars in the paddock. 250 versus 550 cars out there racing, but more people showed up to this event than any Laguna Seca event in years of any Laguna Seca event. You know, every motorcycle race, car race, Rolex Historics, it was something 81,000 plus people showed up to Rennsport, and it was great. It was such a fun event, and that's the cars out there are fantastic. 935s and they're Le Mans cars and their prototypes and the new 935 and all the good stuff. So, anyway, talking about the Bronco, you know, I've been driving the Raptor, which we talked about last week.
Your impression's still the same?
Actually, it is. I like it more. When we recorded this, I was, you know, 2 days into the Raptor, and now that I've spent a week with the Raptor, went back yesterday, I like it. And it's funny because everybody says, and we say this too, it's not really an LA car, and it's not. It's big. It's difficult to park, and it's high and all that stuff. But what makes it an LA car is you just run over curbs. Like, you want to like parallel park, you just run over the curb, and then you just put the truck where you want. And it's, you know.
Well, that's one reason it makes it an LA car.
It could be the only reason, but it's good enough.
It's an unrealistic mode of transportation that's overkill. So that kind of fits the bill also.
Yeah. It was fun. So I'm on board with that, right? I get it. I like the Raptor a lot, but it's a little bit difficult to park. So this past weekend, the Peterson Museum did their big annual gala fundraiser. Tickets are super expensive. They raise money for the museum. It kind of helps them out throughout the year. Then they charity auction off a bunch of stuff. Jay Leno went out and did some comedy, and he helped to host the auction. He got Tim Allen out there to help out, and I was there with Corolla and as guests. And it was a great event. Everybody gets dressed to the nines, and it's super fun. And then my buddy Justin from Xbox and Forza Motorsport, he comes over, and he's like, "Hey, I saw you were driving the Raptor." I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I was just in the Ranger Raptor." And he's like, "Imagine the Raptor, but able to park it in L.A." And I said, "Oh, okay. I like what you're saying." And then you know, we know the new Ranger's coming out, the 2019 Ford Ranger's coming out, and I don't know what's going to be in the Raptor version of it, but the Ranger we know now is going to be a 2.3-liter four-cylinder. It's basically, you know, I want to say it's like a Mustang or a Focus RS version, but probably detuned a little bit. I forgot what those cars are doing, 350 horsepower and 305, 310, something like that. But the Ranger's going to have a 2.3-liter. It's 270 horsepower, but 310 pound-feet of torque. And when we look at the small truck world, if they're small, I don't know. I feel like a Ranger these days is about the size of an F-150 was 20 years ago, right? If you think of like your 2003 or 2002 or 2001 Ford Lightning, that's probably about the size of a Raptor is, or the Ranger is today. So it's a little less horsepower than a Tacoma and a Chevy Colorado, but it's more torque. Those come in at 265 pound-feet for the Tacoma and 275 for the Colorado, whereas the Ranger is going to be 310. So it's going to be interesting, not including diesel engines, of course. So we got a 2.3-liter, 270 horse, 310 pound-feet of torque. It's going to has a payload of 1,860 pounds and a tow capacity of 7,500 pounds. Right. I mean, good enough to drag your car around Southern California back and forth to Magnaflow.
Yeah. I mean, firstly, I almost said my first and foremost thing. I've been good with that, haven't I? Firstly, that was a great transition and segue from the Raptor to the Ranger.
Yeah.
But not so fast, my friend. to me, the thought of doing a Raptor Ranger.
Yeah.
You can talk about the Ranger all you want, a small truck. There would be no sense for me having anything like that in my life. But, that wouldn't appeal to me whatsoever, because part of the allure of the Raptor itself is the size. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't you think? What do you think about if they had a Ranger Raptor, do you think it'd be popular?
You know, I think it'll do well for two reasons. Is everybody that loves a Raptor and can't afford a Raptor, a Ranger Raptor would be a more affordable version. And I do think that city dwellers, you know, like myself, that you know, I had a lot of fun in the Raptor, and I got used to driving it. it still is not, you know, like if you're a one car person and you want to take your motorcycles out to the sand dunes or something and tool around, I think there's there could be an audience for it. And is it as good as a full size Raptor? I don't think it will be. I think you're right. The size and the power of that truck make it what it is. I mean, definitely one of the things that I liked about the Raptor is just hitting the gas, just hammering down on that thing in a straight line and having this big truck haul ass, 450 horsepower.
Feel of it, and it's a big, wide truck. You know, it's like the wide-body Hellcat versus the new wide-body Hellcat versus the skinny tire car, is what I call it, original Challenger. You know, I don't want the skinny body car by any means right now. It doesn't do anything for me. Now, looking at the truck, that's a different class. It's a different, you know, it's a completely different entity than the a normal size or a larger size truck, because it's, like you said, you can park it in L.A., you know, and a lot more people don't need that big, giant monstrosity like what we have or what I have outside. Small trucks, there's a market for it. But I just think the Raptor is what it is because it's a big, grandioso package that's not necessarily logical, but it's fun because it's over the top.
It was fun. It was so much fun. I brought it over. I was driving it around, went to the gym. My longtime trainer, Lou Parada, good dude. He drove a pickup truck his whole life. He's got one of the Lincoln pickup trucks from, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. And we went out, we checked out the Raptor. He fell in love with it, and that was on Friday. And then Sunday morning, he was at the dealer with his wife test driving Raptor. So Ford, I just sold a Raptor.
Good job. And so on the other end of the spectrum, I'll be the antagonist, and I'll make the segue into the other conversation you're going to have about the Lincoln Navigator, about the Hennessy version.
Yeah.
One of the vehicles we rented was the new Navigator.
Right, and we drove one to Monterey.
I'm going to give you my opinion on it. And I was only in it once. I didn't get to drive it. I was just a passenger. But I've been wanting to see this car because I thought that, you know, like Caddy, it's going to bring a different level of comfort and, you know, big over the top cushiness. And man, I wasn't impressed. I really wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't. Styling wise and inside wise, it just kind of reminds me of what they did in the past. So I was really looking forward to it. And like I said, I had very limited time in it, but man, it fell short as far as I was concerned.
Okay. You guys rented it, or was it a car service? You had a driver?
Just rented it. We rented it.
Rented it.
So my brother, I had the Denali, and my other brother had the Navigator. And one day I went for a ride with him. We were in the car for about 45 minutes. I was looking forward to it.
You guys rented a Denali and a Navigator? You guys don't want to, you can't ride together? You need two.
There were nine of us.
Oh, okay, I was like, jeez. I get the Goldberg
family. My mom's 90th birthday, schmuck. It was aunts and uncles and nephews and everybody.
I was like, I get it. The Goldbergs are big boys. I didn't know they needed their own trucks.
No, we had to race. It's a competition everywhere we go. So,
Oh wow! By the way, 90th birthday. Happy birthday, mom.
Thanks, man. Now they're in Paris. They jumped on a private and that's a whole nother story, man. The Goldberg family is it's a very strange family on how they go about things. But yeah, needless to say, my mom's in a wheelchair, 90th birthday. One of my nephews is getting married over in Paris, and so my brother gets a big monstrous private jet, and they all tooled over to Paris.
Yeah, wait, is this Ferrari brother or is this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, does it make sense now?
Yeah. Now it's starting to come together. Well, there's two Goldberg brothers, right? Well, there's three, including you, right? There's three, but by the way, I love that you and all of your brothers have always just like completely different careers and all just busted your asses doing it, and everybody's successful. And mom gets to fly around and reap the benefits.
Hey, thank you, man. The fact is that my parents, our parents were integral in our success. They have everything to do with what we've done. Though, yeah, it's quite eclectic way of succeeding. We all went kind of different directions, although they kind of ended up in the same at this point. They own restaurants and bars together and nightclubs and stuff like that. But yeah, man, it's been a fun ride. In the Goldberg family, it's we're kind of like the Clampets.
Yeah.
In a different way.
You know, this kind of brings up the question, and is you and I have been sort of kicking around the idea of doing CarCast live somewhere at maybe one of your brother's places down in Southern California. So I would say if you guys listening like that idea, if you guys will come out, have a beer, and watch CarCast live, let us know. I think we get enough people saying, hey, that sounds good. We'd like to do that. We'll be there. We'll try to put something together. What do you think?
Anybody knows Southern California live music scene? There's a place called the Belly Up Tavern, and the Belly Up in Solana Beach. And that's where we'd be doing it, gents, ladies and gents. So,
Belly Up.
It'd be a kick-ass deal. So,
Chris, have you played that joint?
No, but I've eaten at that restaurant. It's really, really good.
It's really good, right?
Yeah,
it's really
good. The Wild Note right next to it. Yeah, he owns that too.
Well,
he owns that too. No, but it's a great place. It's a small club. It's, you know, remember when I said I saw the Stones down there?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's a really small, intimate place. 250 people. It's bitching. It really is.
Nice. So you guys should go check that out if you guys like it. I'd like to do that at some point. We got to figure something out. So anyway, Lincoln Navigator, you weren't impressed, but what if the guys at Hennessy took it from 450 horsepower and made 600 out of it? Would you like it more?
For 20 grand? Hell no.
For 20 grand? That's an expensive package.
You're joking, right?
Right?
I love as much as I love horsepower, more than anybody else. There's no such thing as too much, except for the fact that if it costs you 20 grand to get 150, you know, I love Hennessy stuff too, and I love, you know, what he stands for, but not on that car.
Well, Hennessy does, they basically do an ECU upgrade or a tune or something. They do exhaust, they do, you know, whatever, cold air kit, boost the turbos, larger intercooler, and they get, you know, they get 600 horsepower out of the thing, and it knocks almost 0.75 seconds off the 0 to 60, and it gets that Navigator
that's
scooting around.
Hey, if you like that truck, that's a bitchin' deal. I mean, no doubt.
Look, if you can get a Lincoln Navigator and run 1290s in it, I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I probably would do the work myself though.
I was gonna say how many podcasts you got to do to get the Hennessy upgrade.
Yeah, it's gonna be quite a bit. All right, before we move on, I'm going to tell you guys about Continental Belts. If you think of all the weird things you find in cars, I'm not talking about your garden variety Petra fries or melted crayons. I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets, and the kind of stuff that just makes you wonder about folks. Well, another thing that'll make you wonder, but in a good way, are Continental Belts. I bet you didn't know they're OE in tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. They're also OE on a majority of BMWs and VWs. Now, Continental is launching their aftermarket multi-V belt with this OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series. These belts are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has the OE Technology Series Multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. So listen, you get enough surprises working on your cars and trucks already, a belt shouldn't be one of them. Go with the Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit OETechnologyseries.com. It's funny, as I'm reading that, I'm like, I do need a belt. I got my my M3. I finally brought it over. I told you the starter died again. I brought it over to the shop, and I told the guy, swap in the starter, but let's finish this thing up, right? I put the new supercharger on it. I went to a little bit larger blower pulley to get more belt wrap. So the larger pulley will get more contact with the belt and the pulley because it was slipping a little bit. But what that does is it ended up effectively reducing the amount of boost. So now I've got to change the crank pulley. And I talked to the guy and I was like, we need a new belt system. And he's like, I've been developing it. It's on the CNC machine. It's ready to go. We're going to try it out. And I said, great, let's do it. So it's got a whole new way of routing the belt with more surface area on the pulleys and a much better tensioner pulley. So hopefully I'll slap a Continental belt on it and I'll get this thing dialed in to maybe 15, 16, 17 pounds of boost with my new Vortec. And I'm going for... I'd like to have somewhere between 450 and 500 horsepower at the tires. All right, so we'll see how that goes. All right, guys, a lot of stuff going on. Of course, you can follow Goldberg on social media. He's Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter and Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. Oh, man, we got the Pantera on Bring a Trailer next week. We've got the Ford GT going up on Bring a Trailer. Hopefully, you guys will like those cars. Go in there and bid. And if anybody likes that Corvette, give me a shout. We'll do a deal. We're ready to go on that. In the meantime, check us out at CarCast Show. You can follow me at Moderator. I'm on all the social medias. You can follow Goldberg at Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter and Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. Great accounts. Lots of posts. Cool car stuff for sure. And
aren't you gonna tempt everybody with maybe a price of that Corvette that they're looking for?
So yeah, I'll tell you straight up. So the price as listed is $195,000. It's a very, very special car, but we're ready to deal on that car. So you call me up, let's talk about it, or you send me a note, let's talk about it. I know I can do a much better price than that. And you're going to get the only Survivor class Corvette ever, right? It was in a Pepsi commercial. It was used in the ads for the Survivor class. Like, this is the car. So let's chat. Let's chat about that. Okay, before we wrap it up, Bill, what else you got? Anything else going on? Getting ready for SEMA? Going to get your car out there?
Getting ready for SEMA. Got to get my car out there for sure. Outside, it'll be a Magnaflow's booth. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I got a couple signings going on, and I have confirmed that Santa Claus is coming out of retirement.
Yeah, we'll tell you guys more about that later. Excellent. We're going to be doing Shift and Steer podcast from the Magnaflow booth every day at SEMA, and yeah, you're going to be doing some signings there. I think you're doing something with Magnaflow. I'm not sure if we're doing a podcast. We'll figure that out. But we're all going to be out there, so find us. Come say hi. We would love to see you. And, of course, Dodge. Your authorized Dodge dealer invites you to experience a world of performance, design, and fuel efficiency. Schedule a test drive today. Go to Dodge.com and visit your local Dodge dealer to learn more about the exciting offers of our powerful lineup. Check that out at Dodge.com. All right, buddy. So we need to connect soon. Get back in the studio. We're going to have Alistair Weaver come in from Edmonds. I think he's racing tiny cars in France somewhere. He did like a 24-hour race in cars with 75 horsepower. It's like, I don't know, it was like the Le Mans of smart cars or something. I don't know what's going on. He could fill us in on that. Plus, we also love when he comes in because he talks funny.
We should have Marcus Angel on again too and give us an update on the lawman.
Yeah, we would love to do that. I like that guy. He was great, and he's I don't know, it sounds like he spends a lot more time putting like nice picture books together because he's got the best documentation ever. And I was like, who has time for this? Build the car, buddy. So we'll get an update on him.
Shit. Well, that and traveling and judging and all that shit. But
yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But that means he's just going to be that much better of a guest.
Yeah, he's going to be fantastic. We love it. All right, guys. Thank you. Until next time, for Matt and Bill and Chris, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
Hey, hey, hey. I'm out.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.